Good evening and welcome to Bayside Adventures, a beautiful balmy night tonight, 34 degrees, unbelievable.
Chuck.
Dean, how are you?
Chuck, cut it out.
How long's it been? 12 weeks?
You tell me.
12 weeks.
3 months.
That's
12 weeks.
Is that what it is?
Spot on.
Can't believe it.
Very
We've
good.
Got Gwaine Blake with us today. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. Really good.
Well, there you go. Hey? Did you bring the cheer squad with you?
Yeah.
Now, before we go on, some serious stuff Gwaine was talking about before of a special drone. Stuff that one up. Drone that you saw in Heidelberg, I think it was.
Not Heidelberg. Just at home. Out the front of my place is a park.
Was it a grey-looking one?
It was black and white with blue lights on it.
I reckon it might be.
Around a tree. Couple of guys racing around the trees in the park, and Staffy came flying around the corner and ate it. It was unreal.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
That's what could have happened to yours.
Could have, mate.
Hang on, I'll change that. You're three.
Otherwise, mine. I think mine's still in orbit, mate, somewhere.
A Staffy.
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pretty good going.
Oh, you know how much mileage I've got out of this drone story? I have to tell you, if we had a show that went for two hours.
I turned the project on and they're actually talking about it.
Flying in the background.
No, they're actually talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
So, pretty good gun. Now, having a bit of a joke about the weather, but seriously, it is freezing.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
It's been, we said, what, 15 weeks or whatever it's been, where it's been constantly blowing every single
Just
day.
Just crazy.
But not only that, it's been blowing, Gwaine, as you know, northerly wind, which is unusual. It really is. Normally you get a northerly for 2 or 3 days.
Yep.
Then she swings around to the south. That hasn't happened.
Yep.
But tomorrow afternoon, it looks like it's dropping off.
Could be a goer.
And also Monday. Gwaine, what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, the fishing's been great anyway. You just got to push yourself to get out there, but it's going to help. It's going to put a few people on the water. I reckon you'll find a lot of guys will start racing down to Portland once we start to get good weather patterns again.
Mm. Now, can you see the good – how far away are good weather patterns? Because I would have thought it would have stabilised by –
It should have – May is generally our stable.
It's good.
Yeah,
that's
weather
good.
For the year. So it's actually really strange because that northwesterly is our predominant wind through June and August.
Winter,
so it's like it's come early. So it'll be interesting to see what does actually happen.
I hope not. Because that is a terrible northwesterly down Rye. It's terrible.
You know, the seas at Portland would be about 47 metres.
Well, look, we've got a couple of guys actually who have been doing some fishing down there on the run coming up soon on the telephone.
Yep.
Jay's been there, and also we're talking to Dallas,
yep.
And he's got some news. It's actually some frightening news about people attacking fishing.
Yep.
He's going to fill us in on that one. And as I said, we'll talk to Nick, who's caught a few barrels.
Yep.
He's going to just say what to do to get your boat prepared. So when you do get down at these areas, Port Mac, et cetera, you do know what you're doing. So,
yeah, sure.
But anyway, in the meantime, mate, what have you been doing?
Work, more work.
That's it?
I was out partying last night.
Tell us.
Yeah, I went to the Nissan celebrated 50 years of motoring in Australia.
It's been that long.
It has. It was 1966.
You've only been 35 then, Charlie.
Something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. Yep.
And they took us through their journey, and what a fantastic journey it's been. And they had all their different makes and models there that have seen, all the different makes and models that have been there throughout the years. And we kind of forget Nissan used to be called Datsun.
That's
once.
Right. That's right.
And they had the very very first little Datto that they raced at the Red X. Challenge. They that's actually what got them started. They bought a Datsun, I don't know, looked like a Sunny or a 180B. I can't remember.
180B were legendary.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was, but two Japanese guys brought one of those out to Australia, and they put it through Australia's harshest conditions, because that Red X bash is a absolutely it kills the cars and really tests them. And guess what? The little Datto came up trumps, won it, and then I forgot what his name is, but he saw the cars, an Australian guy saw them, and he ordered his first 100, and hence Datsun arrived on our shores. And what a great night it was, a super event. One thing I like about these car manufacturers, they realise how much time of our life goes into this job, you know, to make it a success. And they don't forget your wives, your partners. And so I managed to have the boss with me last night, and she had a really good time, and had a few, one or ten like she normally does. And we ended the night with the espresso martinis, Bond, Dean Bond, they call me.
I love it.
Shaken, not
you
stirred.
You actually looked like James Bond.
You think so?
Yeah, I saw you on Facebook. Thanks, then man. I said, who's that? They should get this bloke for the new James Bond.
Oh, yeah, I've got a few nice guys.
Daniel Craig's not doing it anymore.
Yeah, that's fitting. So, I got the body for James Bond.
Did they have? Did they have all the Nissans there, like the Blue
they
Bird?
Did, they did, mate. They
and
did.
The Godzilla?
Godzilla was there.
Oh, wow.
Who's the V8 supercar driver?
Callies.
Who?
Callie Brothers.
No, there's another one.
Oh, wow.
There's another one.
Italian guy.
Yeah.
Little guy.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, because they got him to stand up and they said to him, are you standing? They were giving it to him. But his race car was there.
Yeah.
And they just had the whole lineup. It was a great night, mate. Nissan really, really went well.
Fifty years,
mate, and they had just a magnificent do it at the exhibition buildings. And what a fantastic building that one is, eh? The exhibition building there at Carlton. So
we've got some good venues, haven't we, in Melbourne?
Yeah, so absolutely. I'm a bit worse for wear today, boys.
That's right, mate. You can just sit back and Gwena and myself take over.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Gwena, now you said that you've been out at the island a couple of times, and you managed to catch some fish. Fill us in what's been happening.
Yeah, still smashing the whiting.
Last weekend I fished Western Port, but the weekend before just snuck out again, pushed ourselves, went out.
Where'd you go when you say snuck out? Where?
So we launched out of Mount Martha Cove, went out to around the island again. The fish have moved quite a bit, probably 5 km to where they were, but just worked a couple of areas and found some fish. But the conditions are pretty tough. Like it was, you know, blowing 20 knots from northwesterly, but jeez. You know, when you're going to go, you go. And we did really well. We bagged out in, it was 40 minutes or something between me and Dave. And then last weekend I fished down off Balnarring, and we got one gummy and a couple of seven gills in close there in about 6 metres of water.
Mm-hmm.
Gummy's about 7 kilo. So, yeah, the fishing's still there, and there's plenty of snapper getting caught again now as well as this temp's dropped. So it's just about getting out there and putting in the effort, I suppose.
Yeah, being out there at the right time, I reckon.
But it has been hard. I mean, you know, when you look at it, you're just launching the boat. I mean, we went out, what happened to us a few weeks ago?
Wow.
We looked at the forecast, and it was fantastic. Yeah, it was no wind. So we said we'd go and have a crack at the whiting. We went out there to Pinnace. And it came up, didn't it, mate?
Yeah,
and
you bet.
Came up and came up and came up. And the problem with particularly my boat, because it's so large, is when you bring it back in.
Because it's so large.
Well, you know, you get it smashed against a pier, as we know. There's nowhere where you can actually tie up safe, you know?
That was the benefit of Mount Martha Cove.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it a beautiful facility?
It's protected by the mountain too.
Yeah.
So that northerly Mount Martha actually protects it, or northwesterly. So going into there, you've got a really safe access to get in and out, and also a really calm area to retrieve from. So that's why.
So we didn't have that. We didn't. So that was a bit of a concern, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Look, we worked it as a team.
Yep.
And we managed to get it out okay. Done. But it really came up, didn't it? And it wasn't predicted.
Yeah.
You know, it was
hard.
Knots.
Yeah, you're right. It was like it was really, really windy, but we did it what we had to do, and we got the boat on the trail no problem. So
but if I was by myself, I would have been buggered.
Yeah, it would have been smashed.
No hope.
Did the wind come through in a tide change or just out of nowhere?
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, right.
You know, by 7:30, 8 o'clock it started, and then, you know, we looked at the forecast when we came back in, it was 30 knots.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
30 knots, Gwena. Mm.
Yeah,
you know, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating.
So last time I went to Martha Cove, you just reminded me, right? I went to Martha Cove, I reckon it was about a month ago, and we always talk about gear, don't we? You know, preparing your boats and preparing your gear. And I have to tell you, there was a guy there, and he was in a top-end car, so, you know, more expensive car that I won't mention, but there are 3 diamond points on it. So the guy wasn't short of a quid, right? Brand new one, and he had a big cruiser on a trailer, you know. So I reckon the car that he had tow on the boat for a start was not right, right? So anyway, he's just bought this boat. He reckoned he's backed up started to go down the ramp. He had his and I was actually putting my boat on the trailer, and he had his mum and his wife, I reckon, were on the back of his big cruiser. And mate, I have to tell you, as he's back in the boat down the ramp, what do you reckon happened?
Slid off.
Off it came, mate.
Oh no!
Bang, 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 oh, bang on the ramp.
It's and the worst sound. It's yeah, horrible.
Mum and wife, you know, they on their backsides, and I've just looked over the side of my boat, and I've seen what's happened, and I've gone like, wow. And so we've loaded my boat up and did what we had to do. Then we went over to try and give this guy a hand, and
he wouldn't get it up.
And no hope of getting it up. No. But you know, it seems to me like he didn't have the he'd undone the chains,
yeah,
and he had the winch strap just on it, and the winch, he didn't have the lock on the wheel of the winch strap. And the boat just, like, the winch just undid, and
yep,
and he blamed his dad, and it was it was just,
look, you know, I'm going to give it a plug, and I'll say never, but it'd be very hard for that to happen when you got a boat catch.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
You know,
Bob McPherson drove his home, from Portland to get his boat serviced in Melbourne, just with the boat catch.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's just,
they are. That bolt is so thick, you know. Yep. So anyone listening to this story, go and get yourself a boat catch. You know, they're only $700 or whatever it is, and it is just so easy.
And you can launch and retrieve by yourself. Yeah, that's well.
And you might say they're only $700, and there's bound to be listeners out there going, $700? Well, let me tell you something. The damage this guy did on his boat was far exceeded $700, let me tell you.
Yeah, and hopefully, hopefully he can prove, something happened and he can get it on insurance, because you just don't know.
He just bought the boat, mate, so he bought it private.
Yep.
And according to him, he was going to go back and have a crack at the person who he bought it off. But I said to him, good luck with that.
It's the person that's putting the boat in. All right, mate, we've got our first break coming up. Mitchie boy, we're going to have Dallas coming up soon. Gwayne's here today. Now,
I think we're going to see a little bit more of Gwayne, aren't we now?
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Next time you come in, now you got to shave.
Actually, can I?
Winter growth trying to keep warm the last few days.
We'll talk to you about Swell Construction soon, and she must be getting punished out there. But then we'll talk more about that later on.
That wind.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Dallas, we are fish man. How are you, mate?
Hi, Charlie.
We've got Dean and we've got Gwayne today.
G'day, guys.
How are we? Now, Dal, before we say or do anything, we're friends on Facebook, aren't we?
Yeah. We are.
Yeah. Did you see those photos of me and my party at that corporate suite, Sydney Swans versus the Hawks?
I did, actually.
Hey, what about that, mate? So just before we go into fishing and get into fishing, what happened?
Where do I start? I had a few mates ring me after the game telling me, how good Buddy was, and he was the difference. And I said, he was, but it's a pity that he's missed out on the last two premierships when he left the Hawks. But anyway.
That's a typical Hawthorn supporters comment, right? But I had a few of them in the box with me, right? And they all said Buddy miskicked something or did something wrong, and they turned around and said, that's why we got rid of him. That was the first thing they did. They didn't say much when Buddy was punching them from 70, though, let me tell you. That corner brought silence.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Who's Buddy?
Big Buddy Lance Franklin, mate.
Sorry, mate.
He's a great player. Never
heard of him.
What's he doing fishing?
I have to tell you, I got a Sydney Swans jumper before the game, and we get a free number with it, and she goes, "What number do you want?" And I said, "What do you reckon
you
I got?"
05.
23, mate. The big Budster. 05, good on you, buddy.
Peter Brock.
All right, mate. How you going anyway?
Now, serious stuff here. We had a little bit of a chat before off air. You're telling me that fishing is under threat by some green movement?
Correct. I was in Canberra last week with all the other state and national peak bodies. And we got notified from a department spokesman from the Environment Department, and he said that there's been a nomination to list recreational fishing as what's called a key threatening process under the federal environmental legislation. And you can imagine what the recreational fishing representatives in the room said to about that.
So, mate, just elaborate a bit. What sort of legs does something like that have?
It's got to run a process, obviously. A similar nomination was made in 2012 from a green group, which was rejected by the Environment Minister, and rightly so, obviously. It's just nonsensical. It's an ambit claim. We think it's a bit of a pushback from the federal government not agreeing to prohibit the take of thresher sharks and mako sharks and, you know, some of the fish that we love to catch, that we have bag limits in place, we have science programs in place. Some of these green groups just really need to wake up to themselves. And, yeah, it's disappointing. We did a post on Facebook. We had 48,000 views within less than 24 hours. And so, yeah, we're taking it very seriously, obviously, because that's what, you know, wreck fishers want to see from peak bodies, to stand up to this sort of stuff. But it's just sad to see some groups are out there trying to undermine recreational fishing.
You mentioned the groups, and you mentioned, you know, people in the group. What I can't understand, Dale, is this: how come we don't know who they are, and how come we can't know who the people are? Why don't they sort of, when they sort of put these ridiculous things in, why don't they actually say who they are?
Yeah, it's a good question, Charlie, and I asked the question, said, you know, why won't they disclose who it is? And they said, at this stage, they're not required to. And so, yeah, we'll keep an eye on this, obviously. And, you know, recreational fishing is worth so much to the economy. It means so much to our social well-being, to our lifestyle, to our whole culture. You know, we'll mount a really good argument why this is a silly idea.
And interstate travel.
But, yeah, you know,
everything.
We're taking it very seriously.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong. There's going to be so many businesses,
you know, yeah,
affected by something as stupid as this.
Typical green,
mate. And
mentality.
You're not right. You're not wrong, mate. These voices are normally faceless voices. They never ever want to be seen. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. My gut tells me they've got a battle ahead of them to try and enforce something like that. But hey, that's just my opinion.
Well,
so.
Yeah, you know, in Victoria, we've actually got a government that wants to grow recreational fishing. So they're, you know, well, already spoken to the minister's office about this, and you know, they've got our full support. So we're in a good place. But
Look, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But at the same token, because of the fact that we don't know who they are and we don't know who the people are involved, sometimes things can happen and you don't even know it, and they can sneak things in.
They do, and
so that's the concern.
Know, I think we've had a few wins lately on mako sharks and thresher sharks, and southern bluefin tuna stocks are rebuilding, and we're catching a lot of tuna, and it's actually a good news story.
Mm.
And some of these green groups don't like that.
Yeah.
That's keeping us pretty busy. We've also got a course coming up in Port Fairy, which has been advertised on our Facebook page. I've got to be careful what I say to you guys, but, you know, we're all getting a bit older.
Hey.
Yeah.
I am.
And we need to make sure we've got young leaders coming up through the ranks to represent recreational fishers.
100%.
And so we're running a leadership development course in Port Fairy in early June. And, it's all about growing the next batch of people that can stand up for recreational fishers.
Yeah, 100%.
Fishers in an informed way, in an educated way, get their point across. And really future-proof recreational fishing in the years ahead.
Yeah.
So what's the progress of that? Is that like you basically, you know, you pick the people and that's it? Or do people, if they're really keen and have got a passion, contact the VR Fish to say, look, I'm really interested in doing this program. Can I apply? Yep. Is that something that happens? Or
that's it. Yep, we put it out on Facebook. We applied for a grant 18 months ago, which we got... we've just been waiting for the right time to run it. Yeah, so we put it out there for people to put their hands up. We had a huge response. We've only got 5 spots for Victoria, and it's also going to have people from New South Wales, Tasmania, South Australia.
Mm.
It's a whole southeast sort of program.
Yeah,
had a really big response, and we've picked 5 And I've got to say, the response from Five were just amazing. You know, they feel like they've, you know, they got the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Huh. Yeah.
Which is just great to see. They're so passionate, and they want to learn, and they want to make a difference. And, yeah, we're really proud to be able to run this course. And
how long is the course
it's a really good thing.
How long does the course go for, Dale?
It's an intensive course, 5 days live-in. And you'll have presentations on science, management, policy. We'll also take them out fishing as well and get them to understand some of the issues from a charter sector, which is really important.
Yeah.
Get them to understand that there is a place for commercial fishing. They'll get presentations from, you know, some, dare I say it, some conservation groups as well, so they can understand where some of these other views are coming from. Mm. And, terrific support as well from Fisheries Victoria. The guys will go out on a patrol boat for a day with the fisheries officer, and I dare say, again, some of them will probably end up wanting to become a fisheries officer after this course. So it's a really good introduction to fisheries advocacy and management, and, yeah, you know, we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Great, we definitely need more fisheries officers, that's for sure. Now, we've got a problem with the sand flathead.
Yes, yep. So sand flathead stocks have been in decline for best part of a decade, and they've done a lot of science on this, and they've pinned it down to a problem with recruitment. So that's new, you know, baby flathead coming into the fishery. And what's not really clear is what can we do about it, because at the moment the bag limit is 20.
Yep.
And most anglers don't catch 20 sand flatheads; they don't get anywhere near that. And I guess we're saying, well, you know, there's no point cutting the bag limit unless we address the environmental issues. Mm-hmm. And they've worked out that sand flathead need a certain amount of flow out of the Yarra River to do their thing. And quite often we don't get that right level of flow happening. And, you know, a lot of the water that would normally go down the Yarra is already used for other purposes. Yeah, it's a really interesting one about if a fishery is going to struggle because of environmental impacts or environmental reasons, how can we manage that from a fishing point of view, or, you know, is it actually going to achieve what we want to see?
Yeah.
The climate change science is basically saying this species is quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because as we go into climate change, you know, scenarios in the future, we're going to have a bigger drought and or more common droughts, and the flow is probably not going to be what these things need. So. Mm. Really interesting one, and, yeah, one we're having a very close look at.
Gwyn, what do you think?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So these offshore sand flathead, we get quite a lot when we're fishing offshore, you know, mako drifting and stuff like that. You're saying that these actually enter the bay to spawn, or they spawn in offshore and then recruitment into the bay afterwards?
All the science is saying, it's a really good question, Gwyn. All the science is that they don't move a lot, and the fish in the bay are pretty much the fish in the bay. There's a little bit maybe of, you know, transfer from the bay outside into Bass Strait, but most of the fish in the bay, which is where the problem appears to be, they stay in the bay.
And do you think anything towards like the predation of snapper as well causing this damage? Because obviously our snapper stocks are a lot higher than they have been in the last probably 10 to 12 years as well.
Yeah, they've looked at the snapper. They don't think that's the cause. They think it's more environmental.
Yep.
And it's just a really interesting question about if a fishery, you know, 100 years ago, there was certain fish in the bay that aren't there now. And that's not because of fishing, that's just because the bay has changed. Paul Hamer at Fisheries Victoria has done some amazing research on this. And some of the species used to be really common in the bay, just not there anymore. So, again, it's not due to fishing, but the question is, how do we manage it, or can we manage it?
We spoke briefly off air this afternoon about changing things from bag limits to boat limits. I'm still a big believer in that. But I've got to say that we've got a lot of these sand flathead at Ryan Sorrento, but they're all undersized.
Mm.
Plenty there. You know, you do a charter and sometimes they're a lifesaver. You know, you just want to get somebody onto a fish. So you get them these flathead, but they're undersized.
Yep.
So I don't know. What's the go there, you think? You know, like there's still plenty of fish down at Rye, but they're undersized?
Yeah, it's a good question. It could be just that their growth is really limited. You know, they're not going to become extinct. That's not what we're talking about here. It's just that their numbers might continue to decline.
Salinity levels you're talking about to get these fish to spawn and recruitment rates, is that right?
Yeah, yep.
Do you think anything to do with widening the heads has put more saltwater in the bay as well?
That's a really interesting one, mate. And someone said that on the weekend. I hadn't thought of it. It's possible. I guess, you know, we've seen what happened with Brim in the Gippsland Lakes.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's only a small thing, although it's not a small thing.
Right.
Something like that, Wayne, can do damage, as we know.
Definitely.
You know? So that's an interesting one. Maybe look into that, mate.
Yeah, my gut feel is it's a combination of things.
Yeah.
But that could be part of it, yeah. And we haven't really looked at that. So
because, you know, we talk about fishery and we talk about charters and we talk about bringing money into certain areas and all that. Can you just imagine that all these undersized flathead was size, how good it would be?
Yeah, amazing.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yeah. All right, mate.
Anyway, always a pleasure.
We look forward to seeing you guys at the boat show.
Oh, yeah, we can't wait, mate. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So, yeah. But we'll talk before then, and we'll get you in there.
I was at the BIA office today. I caught up with Stephen Potts. And
beautiful.
Last year's boat show was fantastic. I think we've got a bit of work to do to top that, but you know, we'll give it our best shot.
Well, I believe we're going to top it because Dean's going to have his drone flying around.
It might make a guest appearance, mate. Who knows?
We'd love to see that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Good on you, mate.
All the best, guys.
See you,
bro.
Bye.
See you now.
There's Dallas De Silva for your fish. A lot happening, isn't there?
There is.
We're going to go for a break and we're going to have Jay Furness coming up. Now, Graeme, we're talking about this weather. It has been terrible. But, you know, the thing is that, like you said, if you're prepared to get out there and give it a go, you'll still catch a fish, right?
Yeah.
So let's just look ahead. And obviously it's a bit hard when you're looking at the weather, but we can't predict the weather, but we can still predict what sort of fish are going to be caught, as you know.
Yeah.
What in, say, Western Port would be happening, say, the next three months?
Well, the whiting will slow in Western Port. The bigger fish actually come on a bit and then the whiting will slow up. But the snapper are really going to come on and they'll actually go right through winter as they've done for the last few years now, yep. And also some good gummy shark fishing, those really nice table-sized fish.
6-8 kilo sort of thing.
And you'll get quite a lot of them.
So what areas?
They'll actually be right throughout the bay. If you fish south, you're going to end up catching a lot more draftboard sharks and Port Jacksons. They'll come in with this colder weather, but you fish the top end, Boulders, Boltons, Bouchers, you'll get your snapper and your gummy sharks, or over at the Coronella Arm too. Even out in the corals, you'll get these gummies. The one thing that you will notice this time of year is you'll actually get more and more gummy sharks on squid bait than anything else. They sort of switch over from those fish baits to squid.
Yep.
I think it's because the squid are starting to venture back into the bay to spawn. They get finding those bigger ocean squid are moving in now.
So do you get the aeros in Western Port too?
Very occasionally. I don't think they like the dirty water, but this year out of the island's been crazy. I've been getting 3 or 4 every time we've been out there amongst our bag of squid. Yeah.
They're crazy too. They're savages.
Just so people know, aeros, what are the difference, Quayne?
Well, a calamari has the full wings going right down the carapace of the body, whereas the aero squid, it sort of makes an arrow at the top of the head, and then the rest of the actual tube or the carapace has no fins on it whatsoever. And then you'll know because one's absolutely psycho and tries to
eat
the hell out of you.
Yeah, they hurt. My son's been bitten.
Turn their head right around and bite you. So you've got to really be a bit more careful with the aero squid compared to the calamari.
They will pull your skin off.
Mind you, someone did get bitten by a calamari last time we were out.
Yeah?
Who?
You did.
Dino.
Yes.
A Dino.
You got bitten.
I don't remember.
Too busy worrying about his drone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mitch, did you say we got Jay there? Mr. Furness.
Yo.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, mate. Yourself? How are you guys?
You're out crabbing tonight, I believe.
Mate, what a sensational event. Actually, if I look up at the sky now, there's actually not a cloud in it, which is not change.
Okay.
So, the rain has stopped, but, mate, winter's finally hit us.
We're hoping to get a couple of days in next week and maybe tomorrow afternoon, but you know, what can you do now? You've been out at Portland.
Yeah, mate, shot down there last week.
You're on a fairly large vessel. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, just my mate's little boat down there, mate Red, fishing on the 40-footer. Yeah, conditions weren't that great, and as you know, over the last few weeks, and the poor charter guys down there, I've got to say, mate, they've got to be doing it tough at the moment.
Oh,
There's only been a day or two window between 5 or 6 day stretches, and we were lucky enough to shoot down. We fished Friday, Saturday. Friday was good out there, 4.5 metre seas. The wind was backing off. We did well on the fish. We headed west and fished kind of out off, a little bit wider off Bridgewater there.
Yeah.
And then...
And 120, Jay?
Just shy of 120. Anywhere from actually 120 or 115 into 84.
Yep.
The fish were there. We went, after we got our feed, went barrel hunting and started cruising in to go into that kind of 70 to 50 metre line, and we were getting fish hit all the way through. We weren't near any other boats. They were mostly out in that kind of 90 to 110, 115. We were getting hit all the way into the 84 metre line, and we actually found the school fish were better in that 90 to 84 metre line too. They were all, I guess, around that 16 kilo, whereas very mixed bag out in the deeper water, anywhere from 8 to 15, 16.
Yeah, right.
Did you get onto the albacores, or you didn't go?
Nah, we, mate, the conditions were, not that great to be able to have to go right out wide. As we were, we're fishing basically about 28 kilometres from the harbour.
Yeah,
it's pretty close. Not too bad a run.
Yeah. Especially when you're in a beautiful vessel like that.
Still a good run in 5 metre seas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, Saturday backed out. There was about 2.5, 2 metre sea. Picked up a little bit during the midday. Had pretty much a Port Phillip Bay chop on it.
Yeah.
Short and sharp, but as you go on with the following set, it was nice and comfy. And that's when we did a good run back in on that 50 to 70 metre line and just didn't see anything. As opposed to, the 80 to deeper water was good. Tony from Two Up, obviously, I don't know if you guys know, he got a good fish down there on Saturday, 120, I think it went.
122.3.
Yeah. Basically fishing the same area we were. So, the activity on the Saturday was a lot more. It's amazing how from day to day it changes. On the Friday, there was maybe half a dozen boats out there. And Saturday, I don't think there was that many, but maybe 30 or 40 tops, I would have thought.
Yeah.
But just the life, the beauty of fishing offshore like that is you're always learning something. You're seeing the difference in the activity. Even the difference in the skirts and the spread we ran from day to day. What we ran on the Saturday worked for us on the Friday and didn't work for us on the Saturday.
Crazy, yeah.
Was the water clear?
Bluer as you get out off that 70 metre line.
Yeah, actually. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. And was it busy? Or was it a lot of people just dead?
Not at all, because Sunday was very average. A couple of boats went out in the morning. And then I think they all turned back, and they were back by midday. It was pretty snotty out there, and then Monday was the same. So it's just one of those seasons this year. You get a couple of good days, and then it turns to snot.
Yeah,
yes.
Probably run good.
Next week's looking good.
Yeah.
I think the weekend's shaping up okay, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at this stage is looking good. I'm potentially heading down. Look, there's plenty of fish down there at the moment. There's no doubt about it.
It's good.
Good, mate. All right, now, real estate. What's the go? What's been
happening? Well, I'll tell you what, if you can get some stock down here, it's hard going because the amount of buyers around and the lack of stock on the peninsula at the moment is amazing. I've never seen anything like it in the 9 years I've been down here. Anything that's hitting the market now, you've got a backlog of buyers jumping on it straight away. So I can give you guys a heads up. If anyone's looking to invest on the peninsula, get in there before it's too late, especially at this stage. You see something that's appealing, make the drive down during the midweek. We're more than happy to do inspections during the midweek, and we're finding a lot more buyers coming down because of that, because they're missing out by coming down on the weekend.
What's your vacancy rate like for rentals?
Be lucky to be 3%, I think, at the moment, don't you?
Okay, that's good. That's low.
So investment opportunities. Look, I've got an absolute cracker on the market at the moment. It'd probably get you around about an 8.5-9% yield, which is unheard of down here.
Yeah, crazy.
Generally speaking, you're going to be getting around the 3.5-4 if it's doing well.
Yeah.
This one, 8.5-9% yield, and we're looking around the mid-400s.
What is it, just a house?
We're looking at a duplex house, 5-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 2-living area, 2 kitchens.
So it's two accommodations. So you can have 2 lots of families living in it.
Basically, Dean, yeah. So 2 bedrooms upstairs, 3 downstairs.
Is it separate access?
Separate access to both. So for holiday rental, for a young couple trying to get in as an investment opportunity and rent downstairs or upstairs and get a bit back on their mortgage, it's just there.
Wow.
A cracker. And close into town, about a 15-minute walk to the shops.
Whereabouts?
This one is Rothworth Road, number one of
the three. No, don't give the address away. What suburb?
You're right, mate.
You're not buying another property.
Okay. Do you want to just text me the address? Yeah.
All right, mate. Quickly, because we are running out of time. What's been happening here? Have you done anything or?
I've been jarring tuna for the last 2 days, mate. That's what I've been doing here. And I was about to say, have you got any jars at home, Charlie? Because I need them.
All right, I'll have a look at the cupboard and see if we can find some, mate. Because it has been terrible, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, mate, when you can't get out in the conditions like that, you might as well do some processing, some beautiful bluefin tuna. So,
yeah.
And we should have a chat about that one evening on the show too, guys. How to process all the fantastic fish we're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get you next week or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
I've bought that house.
Thanks for that, mate. Fantastic. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good on you.
All right, guys.
See you, champ. Bye.
It's Jay Furness, the Mr. Real Estate.
You know, let me tell you, 9% yield is big, mate.
He knows his stuff, you know. Yeah. Not just because he's a mate, but he does know his stuff. Mm. He's a gun. They call him a gun, and he knows his stuff. So it's good stuff. All right. Now, we've got to get Nick. Have you got Nick there coming up? You can give him a call.
Oh, that's a bit rough, Charlie.
What?
We've just hung up from Jay. How do you expect the bloke to have Nick on the phone?
He's got to be switched on, mate, when he works with us.
Yeah, he does. On
just because he's 12, doesn't matter.
He's got a mate in him with him today.
Yes, she is. Yeah, she's sitting. It's a beautiful lady.
Yeah, well, he called her a mate. There's nothing wrong with calling a lady a mate.
It's not your mate.
No, it's not my mate. It's his mate.
That's terrible.
What are you guys doing? A project?
Project?
Looks. And what's your name?
Let's tap into it.
Laura.
How are you, Laura?
Good, thanks.
That's good. Now, he reckons you're in doing a project with him, but I can see his computer from here and he's playing games.
Yeah, I was helping him with a podcast for uni.
Okay, very good. So what are you guys school together?
We do rovers. We do scouts together.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. Very good.
What school?
No, scouts.
Oh, scouts.
Mm. Yeah. All right, thanks. Nice to meet you. Good on you.
We'll talk later. Now, talking about tuna, we actually last week, I think it was last week or the week before, we had some bloke catching this little fish on my show.
Yeah.
Nick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Charlie. How are you going?
I'm very well. How are you?
Not bad, thank you.
Now, you do construction, is that correct?
Correct, I do.
Now, but your real passion is catching big fish. Now, you do a fair bit in Victoria and also over the border, and you do go to Port Stephens as well to catch the marlin. But we just want to tap in your brain and find out what's going on with the tuna down there and what we should do to get our boats ready.
Yeah, I mean, the last week or so, there's been a few good reports coming out of all the way from Port Mac down to Apollo Bay. So two of us keen at the moment, I'd start getting my boat ready in the sense that, go do your services and do all that stuff you got to do because you are travelling big distances at times to chase these fish. And more importantly, get all your terminal tackle ready. Get all your lines re-spooled and get your leaders checked and wind-ons. I found one of the most important things was my wind-ons. A few of my friends lost some big fish last year because of wind-ons just breaking on them. So my rule of thumb is every time I catch a big tuna, or a big fish in any sense, if I'm using the wind on, I'll use it once and then I'll replace it. So it's all about, spending $10 on a wind on, you're spending all this money on fuels and accommodation. Not really much money to spend a new wind on, I guess, Charlie.
Well, it's a good point. I noticed when I was there filming you that your leaders and all that, your wind ons were like brand new. They were brand new.
They were. They have to be. They have to be.
Yeah. All right, so you leave the port. What's the first thing you look for, mate?
The first thing we do, obviously, we check the weather. That's the first most important thing. And then once we leave port, we head out. we start looking for life out there, and then always the life is the bird. Once we tend to find the bird, and which way, more importantly, which way the birds are travelling, because in the morning you won't see birds. A lot of times in one little area, you see the birds travelling. They might be travelling east or travelling west, and that's the thing that tells me which way the fish will be. So if I see them travelling east, I'll start heading east, and then when I see them flocked up in the little area, well, I know I'm in the right area, Charlie. Okay. I know that.
Okay. So you basically find the birds and everything. Now, you actually, I noticed, you do sound up the fish.
Yes, and I actually watched the show last week, and I actually pointed out to you, Charlie, I've got fish underneath me here at 20 metres. So it all comes down to what sort of sounder people are running. I'm running the Furuno. I find that works for me well on the pelagics.
What's the model, mate?
It's a 295. Mm-hmm. I'm running the Furuno 295 for 2 kilowatt transducer. That's a job for me. I can sound deep. I can sound shallow. But don't forget, most of the time, when we're fishing for marlin, we're fishing in water anywhere between 140 and 160 metres. But these barrels we're chasing now, you know, we can be getting between 40 to 80 metres. So, you know, you don't need to get the biggest or the best technical sounders out there. As long as you've got something you're comfortable with, I found that my success last year on the barrels was due to my sounder. I was actually marking up fish and staying in a certain area longer than what others were. They weren't marking fish, but they were sitting on birds or sitting on whales or dolphins or seals. I found that if I didn't mark fish, I'd move to the next patch. And that's the reason. And you're with me, Charlie, when we moved a couple of patches and we got to the fish because of that reason, because I didn't mark them in one area. But when I did mark them, I mentioned it, and luckily enough, we got the 100 kilo tuna that time.
And it was an amazing fish too. All right, so where do you go from here now? When do you actually get fair income? Because like you said, it's a lot of money going down there. You know, you got to take time off work or whatever. What do you do? Do you just wait until you get constant reports, or you got mates down there? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a network. You got a good network of friends. It's all about the information, Charlie. You got to put that information together. And then go on your own accord. But, you know, just a little secret, the last week or so, I've noticed I'm getting more and more reports from certain friends. And I think it's starting to happen. I think you'll see in the next few days some big fish coming out of these areas from Portland to Port Max to Apollo Bay. And also the weather's starting to improve as of next week. The weather's been pretty average the last few weeks, which has enabled a lot of fishers to get out there. But those who are keen on catching these barrels, mark my word, from this weekend onwards, you'll start seeing many, many more barrels getting landed, because I believe they're starting to school up now, and now's the time. Now's the time all the way. We were getting them last year all the way to September, Charlie. So you've got a good 2-3 months of good, serious barrel fishing in front of us.
Well, sort of Jack Oliver got a double hookup today. I know he landed one. I'm not sure if he got the other second fish, but that was a pretty good barrel, probably well over 100.
Yeah, well, I think it was around about, 116 or something like that, I think.
Yep.
They're starting to show up. And there was a few good fish caught off last week off Port MacDonald, but they kept it quiet out there. But I do know that if you can get out to Port Mac, you got a very good chance of getting the barrel. They seem to be always around there for some reason, and you don't get a lot of the boat traffic you do like you do at Portland. So if you want to travel that extra hour or so, I highly recommend
fish are a lot closer in too. The barrels I heard of last week at Port Mac were in 30 metres. So
yeah, they were pretty much straight out. That's right. That's exactly right. You know what I mean? So,
that suits me.
Yeah, it's worth that extra hour with a car.
Now, I know you've got a couple of, more than a couple, you've got a few different lure colours that you use, but I know there's two at least that is your favourite. What are they?
Yeah, I like the Jack. He's a Jack 10-inch. It was like a little bit of a greeny, black greeny, but more green over it, yeah.
Grim.
That's exactly the one it was. And the other one I used was, like I said on the show, was the Pecula, the Lumo Sprocket.
Yep.
That one there did well for me, and also the Evil Angel in Pecula. They're pretty much the three top shelf marlin skirts that I put out first before I put out anything else. So that would be definitely the three I'd use, you know. And the Jacks, pretty much out of all the barrels I got last year, I would have easily got easy 6 to 8 barrels just off that one particular skirt. Very good skirt for me. Yeah, amazing. And there was the one on the show.
A standout last year. I know quite a few people that got on that Jack's Grim between 8 and 10 inch.
Yeah, that Grim was just, I don't know what it was, but it was just amazing, amazing pattern, amazing colour, and just a lot of it took to do with the head as well on the actual skirt, and the way Kyle from Jack's Wools must have put that one together, good on him, yeah, because it worked extremely well for me, extremely well.
That'll be the Zeus, yeah?
The Zeus, yeah, that was the Zeus, exactly, that one there, yep.
Beautiful, all right, well, look, thank you so much for that. We'll follow you this season. Well, actually, I'm going to follow you too with a camera.
So nah, that's definitely going to be good. I can't wait for you to come back on again, Charlie. Hopefully we can, maybe we'll try for a double hookup. Yeah, what do you reckon?
And I need to get in the water.
I'm not going in that water, but I'll stand in the boat, mate. I'll still
I'm in there, buddy. I'm in there. We need those shots. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you, mate.
What'd you say?
You're a nutter.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
It's beautiful. All right, we're going to take our last break and come back with the end of the show.
Bring it home. Well, we're back for the home run.
Now,
last 5 minutes.
Okay, let's break this down now. Graham's already spoken about what's happening in the next few months.
Yep.
Western Port or Port Phillip Bay, it's your choice. What do you go for? What do you do? Do you stop fishing altogether, or what do you do?
No. The only reason I've not been out that much this year is because of work and what I've
and
been.
Weather.
I've been well. Come yeah, on. I've got a pretty good boat that'll cop most of the
pleasant.
Weather. It's not, but I still don't mind it, you know. But I'm thinking about, and I was talking to Gwen about this earlier, and I'm thinking about going out tomorrow afternoon/evening in Coronella to have a crack at
a snapper
or a gummy, something like that. So I haven't been out for a little while on my boat, and I wouldn't mind getting out there and giving it a bit of a go, catching the tide change into a low. So yeah, that's what I'm going to go and.
It should be right. You've got a good barometer for it tomorrow.
Yep.
I want to get some whiting just for my kids.
Yep.
And that's going to be pretty easy, I'd say. And that's just basically around the island somewhere. But what I really love about this time of year, although now we've lost May, and as Gwayne said before, it's unusual because May's a fantastic time to be fishing.
Yep.
No wind. I still love going out to that Bowen Heads, you know, out the heads there and between Port Lonsdale and Bowen Heads with the graveyards there. You know, just there's something about it.
Yeah.
But obviously that has to be right.
Yeah.
And I've found also that if you've had big seas, and we have, and it's that silty sort of look to the water, that the gummies and the snapper are very hard to catch because they just don't feed for some crazy reason. But that's what I like doing. And we manage to go out there every 2 or 3 weeks. You don't go out every day.
Yep.
And every time we go out, we catch a good fish.
Mm.
But it's just getting out there.
Might end up with a barrel under your boat this year.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Never know, eh?
You know, never know. Last year, weren't they? Were they there last year?
There was fish hooked within a kilometre of the wrecks.
Yeah.
Last year.
Unbelievable.
When was that?
It might happen again this year. No.
Was it February or?
No, it was like September.
Yeah, we're coming on to snapper season.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It was actually barrels caught in October in Bass Strait.
Yeah, crazy. I remember that because people weren't fishing for snapper; they were fishing for barrels.
Yeah,
it was crazy. It was unreal.
And it was the same thing, wasn't it? It was all that sea life. There was whales there.
Yeah.
So it was a basic same scenario.
Again. It's loaded off the Anglesey at the moment. It's loaded with barrels. Not barrels. Sorry, the whales. And the actual. The bait and
well,
everything.
Well, you know, we got to stress. We got
to
stress.
To push the fish
we got to stress too legally. You can't obviously chase whales. You're not allowed to. But if you are trawling, as we do, and the whale comes to you, that's fine. And, you know, the one that we caught on TV a couple of days ago or a couple
the
of
whale.
Weeks ago. No, the tuna.
I was going to say, because you need really good krill pattern.
That's right. We did have a whale come up the side of us. And then we caught a tuna.
Yep.
You know, so anyway, that's it.
That's us.
Wayne Blake, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I'll probably be back next week, I reckon. Right.
Yeah, why not?
Cool.
Get some warmth.
Yep.
Nice to see you, pal.
Cheers.
Absolutely.
Chuck, always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
We go to the outside to the cold.
We do.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Adventures out for another week.
Bye.